27 there, 15 to 20 minutes, Johnny, that is. So give me a bit of leeway. So, yeah, Psalm 27. I don't know a page number. Jennifer, have you got a page there, or Fergus, or Psalm 27. Pardon? 557. So look, just hold it there. Try not to read it yet. And Niamh's going to read it in a few moments. So I just want to give a little bit of context to what we're going to be looking at tonight. One of the things and one of the aspects of my job as pastor, which is very important to me and I believe central to being a pastor, is spending time with people, believe it or not. And that might sound simplistic. It might sound, that's an obvious statement. But as I, as a pastor, and as I, as a leader and a potential leader, look at my own vocation and look at those around me, there's a huge tendency, and I would say proclivity and temptation, to remove from the people, as it were, and to become almost outside. However, as I look at the gospel and I read the scriptures, I realize Christ spent all his time with people. He did retract, he did pray, of course he did that. He was a fantastic leader up the front, he was with the people, but he spent his time with the people. And I think over the last while, as I prepare myself, I'm leaving CORE in August. And that will be that's going to be, I think, great for everyone involved. And it's a difficult time, but it's a good time too. And I've just been particularly trying to spend a lot of time with people and trying to hear what God is doing in their lives. What's that, Jennifer? We're going to start a new church out in Rathmines, Harold's Cross direction. Yeah, yeah. We have a sign-up sheet at the back there afterwards. No, I'm only joking. So basically, I've just spent quite a lot of time with people, and all over my ministry it's very important to do that, and John, I believe, is the same. And so, but as I spent time with people recently, there's a recurring theme that is becoming very apparent, I would say, not just within us as community, but generally in a lot of Christian communities that I talk to pastors, both in Ireland and around the world. And that is, there's a real sense of uncertainty amidst great change. And I think that if you stop for a moment to think, that is a very real thing. There's great uncertainty in the midst of great change. Great uncertainty in the midst of great change. I repeat it because I know, just looking around the room, some I don't know, some I do, but all of you in varying degrees, maybe it be because I'm moving on, or maybe it be in your job or your relationship, there's uncertainty in the midst of great change. And that is something that I witness personally as I interact with you guys. And again, if you're not part of the church, I'm sure in your own life that's apparent. However, if I think corporately and raise it to another level, I see that great uncertainty in the midst of great change is very apparent around us. Like, I've just been thinking recently what's been going on in Ireland even. In the last 2 months, we've had volcanoes erupting up in Iceland. We've had dreadful earthquakes out in Haiti. We've had tsunamis a couple of years ago, granted. Unemployment, from zero unemployment to, what are we now, 12, 13, 14% unemployment. And then the death of Jerry Ryan, which really cut me up, last week. And especially cut my wife Dillis up. She just loved listening to him. And so I think that we need to realise and appreciate that we are in a time of great change. And I've been reading a guy called Richard Florida. Has anyone heard of him? No, Richard Florida. He's a great author. And he wrote this book called The Great Reset. And he maintains that, and he is a Christian guy, but he's a well-known sort of author and writer. And he comes up with this picture here behind me. And he's saying that the whole of culture and the whole of society is going through a great reset. And you know what a reset means is that there's an idea of pushing a button and it almost goes off for a while, but then it comes back on. And there certainly is difference, at least in an Apple. Anyway, it kind of recalibrates itself to become what it's meant to become. And he maintains that we're in this sort of transition period of this great reset. And I think I would say that there's a tendency in this great reset, as it were, both individually and what's happening for us in core and corporately, to take a step back and retract either left or right out of what God has for you, because that's our natural default. I think fear and anxiety motivate those things. However, I believe, and I think that there's a great opportunity, again, both personally for us here in core, but also for you personally, to engage more with Christ. And I think as I, again, talk to you guys and listen to you guys and you talk to me, there's a real sort of, God is drawing people in. And God is inviting again. That's why I started off the service. He's inviting Core in again. He's inviting me in again. He's inviting us back in this great reset to engage. And I think the tendency, as I say, is to disengage. If you like, between the buffer of the reset when the computer's off to when it comes back on, there's a disengagement that becomes kind of, I think, a very difficult time for everyone. And I think that's very apparent, I would say, in your lives. It's also very apparent in the media. I'm reading a lot of the Irish Times, Independent, Examiner, Mirror, Sun, just reading the media and looking for this great reset. And it's just so apparent in everywhere that I read, and I don't need to go into it, you can see it as well. An example is Cathy Sheridan, her recent article, A Time of Great Change in Ireland and Ireland Without the Church. And she talks about there's a great change happening in society, and within the church there's a great change, but many people, and this is the word she used, feel locked out of the church. And I think that can also be very apparent in our lives and feeling locked out of the church. Like maybe you came in this evening and you feel locked out of God's plans. You just feel outside. You feel you're tangential, or that you feel aloof. And again, in this great reset, there's a sense of disengaging. But also, non-Christians are seeing it, that people are feeling outside of the loop. So the first thing I would say in this great reset, in this time of great change, in the reset button, as it were, be aware of your situation and be aware that you're in it. But again, in a reset, it will recalibrate, it will come back. And I think in the media, there's a doom and gloom scenario, and that is tough, but yet Christ brings hope and asks for hope. And I think I've just been asking myself the question, okay, in this great reset, I'm moving on, things are changing all over the place. What is the one thing that God has been saying to me? And I want to make this now, bring it from the high to something more applicable to you. What is the one thing that God's been saying to me? And he's saying over and over again, it's like, seek me and my kingdom. That's all he keeps saying to me. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm like, what about a building? What about X? What about Y? He's like, no, seek first the kingdom of God. And as I got this picture off the internet, I don't have a clue who she is, but I'll send her royalties in the post. I just saw that, I think there's something about amidst the crowd and amidst the people around, there was something very prophetic about this. She's kind of stopped and she's looking for the way ahead. I think a lot of us are looking for the way ahead. And in Matthew 7:7, when it's after the Beatitudes are there about, again, a time of great change, another great reset, and loads of people were coming to Jesus and saying, what's the story? There's so much change sociologically, economically, physically, with the Roman army, with poverty, so on and so forth. A lot of you know those times. And what does Jesus say? He says this scripture here, he says, seek the Lord, or seek and you will find, in Matthew 7:7, and seek first the kingdom of God, as then a little bit later on. So in a time of great change, there's an invitation to seek. And you might think, well, that's even harder. I want to just come to me and have it all now. But there's a real sense, I believe, to step even further now in the seeking for you. A challenge for you and me to even take a step in, as hard as that may be. It's not the only example. Another example, which is up there behind me, Isaiah 55. The Assyrian army were ravaging the Northern Empire, just about to ravage the Southern Empire, and people were fleeing away. Another great reset, time of massive change. And what does he say there? Seek the Lord when he can be found. And that was his whole ministry. Seek the Lord, find his purposes, don't disengage, don't retract. Seek first the kingdom of God. And now we come to Psalm 27, a personal story of someone, David, who found himself in great turmoil, a great reset, not knowing the future of his life and what is the thing that he does. So Niamh's going to come up and she's going to read this to us. So if you want to follow her, page 557, and she'll read herself. So.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his tabernacle. Will I sacrifice with shouts of joy? I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Thank you, Niamh. So to bring it even a further level down, here's a specific story of David. And many of you will know the context of this psalm. He has been chased away, not sure if it's by Absalom or Saul, but he's been chased away from that place where he's close to God. And I think a lot of our times in our lives, we feel like that. We've been almost chased away because of the situation, because of what's happening in the Great Reset. We feel chased away to the cave, as David was. We feel away from the tabernacle, as he was talking about there. We feel distant, we feel aloof, and we're afraid to say it to each other. We're afraid to come for help, because the solid Christian should always be happy, always be joyful, always be the center, always be there, able to give that happy face. And yes, there's times of that, but a lot of the time it's in that feeling of being chased away. And what does David say? Again, seek, it's up on the slide here, seek his face. He'd learnt in the situation. He'd learnt in the times that were hard. The first thing he did was seek God's plan. Seek his will. Seek him. Look for him. Find him when he can be found. And I think even my own life, and again, bring it back to you guys, is that there's a lot of things going on and change. And, you know, when we ask the question, well, are you spending time with God? Are you listening to him? I'm doing the best I can. And again, that's not a conviction, but there's kind of an incumbency upon you to seek in that feeling of feeling chased away. And here's the weird thing. In the Bible, it was in the caves that people found God mostly. It was Elijah in the cave. It was David in the cave. It was Moses being chased away, not in the cave, but in the desert. Jesus was in a cave, and he came back to life in a cave. In these cave times, there's the potential to really experience God. But there's an intentionality to seek. And so you're saying, well, how do I do that, Rob? How do I seek? Well, I think for you, it might be very different to me. I love spending some time on my own with my Amazon Kindle and just reading the scripture of God. I also like on a Thursday when I can, getting up really early before my kids, so that means about 2:30 in the morning. And basically, I like to try and go up one of the mountains before anyone wakes up and just spend some time with God. But I was talking to a person there recently, and they were saying, this is how I seek God. I just go for maybe a beer, and then I go for a walk, and I spend some time with my mates, and then I spend some time on my own. I guess what I'm saying is that when you're in the cave and when you're feeling chased away in the Great Reset in the time of uncertainty, find the place where you seek God the best and hold on to that. Because David, over and over again, he found the place. It was at the tabernacle in Nob, unfortunate name, but that's where it was. It was outside Jerusalem. And he used to go to Nob, and he would spend some time with God. And over to the Psalms, he talks about that tabernacle. So I think in this seeking aspect, it's creating space and time, very important. I think in charismatic churches, we lose the discipline of silence and solitude. I do believe in the cave time especially, we try and fill it with loads of things, but actually the space created, especially in the Great Reset, to find out what God has for you. And I've been listening to a CD recently. A mate of mine gave it to me there not too long ago. And it wasn't a Christian CD, but it was about one of these inspirational thoughts, you know, like an inspirational day. So you stand in front of the mirror and you say, "You're a winner, you can do it," type thing. No, not that at all. No, yeah, "You will change the world today." No, not that. But this guy, he made a really good point. He made a lot of good points, but one of the points he made is that a lot of our society is information-based. And we're trained in school, we're trained in university to cram ourselves with information and to get that degree, graduate, move up the ladder. But not much of us have this training around spirituality and silence and having space. We don't, because everything is informed by the busyness as opposed to the space. And I think I need to relearn that. And in the seeking and in the Great Resetting, we need to find that way of seeking in the silence, or seeking in the way that God would have you find him. So just for a moment, because we're going to have communion in a second, and there's one more thing I want to say. But just stop for a second. I think in sermons sometimes we rush on. I know for some of you there's jobs, there's relationships, there's issues with family, there's issues with church, there's issues with all sorts of things. Stop for a moment and just ask yourself, where do I need to seek God, and on what do I need to seek him? For some of you, it might be loads of things. And just to stop for a moment and allow God's Spirit to speak to you. And then just one more point, and then we'll break bread together. And make a promise with yourself for this week, when you're in the cave, as it were, and when you need to seek God. Just promise yourself that you're going to do that, and that you're going to seek him in the way that you find him. So the last thing I would say then is, and it's quite an obvious point, but a very important point, in the aspect of seeking, the most fundamental and underlying aspect of our faith that's required is faith, is the believing aspect. But in the Bible, there's a coupling required, and we see it in the aspect of seeking. Read it in your own time. In Mark 9, verse 29, the disciples are seeking something. They're seeking an answer from Jesus because something isn't happening. Basically, a young boy isn't being healed. And Jesus says, it's not just faith that's required in the seeking, if you like, but also prayer. So the last thing I would say to you is, in your seeking, in the way that you're seeking Christ, couple it with prayer. Because there's this synergy between faith and prayer that is so important in our faith. And I tend, you know, I'm learning about the seeking, but I'm time's up. Okay, let's move on to communion then. I think I'm finding the importance of faith, but also the coupling with prayer. And we as a church are about to engage in a week of prayer and fasting. And John had asked me to speak about Matthew 17:21, but later, look for it in your Bible. It's actually not there. There is no Matthew verse 21. There actually, Matthew 17 verse 21, look for it. There is no line in the Bible that says this only comes out with prayer and fasting. So anyway, that's something else we need to look at. But essentially, we're it comes from is this story in Mark 9:29, which is re-emphasizing in the seeking, you're all looking for it, aren't you? What is he talking about? Of course it has to be there. Trust me, it's not there. No, it's not there. Yeah. So tune in next week and I'll explain to you why I wasn't. The last point I'll make, and we're going to have communion now, is that, okay, let's summarize what we've said. We're in a great reset. I don't want to be blamed for what Peterson calls historical arrogance, in that I'm saying we're very different to what has gone before. I'm saying that what we're in now, there's something very serious going on, and things are definitely resetting themselves. In that resetting, it's incumbent upon you to seek God and to find ways to seek him. And in that seeking, it's also incumbent upon you to couple that with prayer. And in faith and in prayer, as you seek God, you will receive his kingdom of righteousness. So let's pray. Father, it seems so simple, the seeking aspect in time of great change, but I know in my own life and talking to others that it's only in the seeking and then finding and hearing and listening and growing that we really become mature. So help us, Father, move from milk to solid food, as Paul says. Help us to grow in our faith and in our seeking and in our receiving in that seeking, God. And Lord, we're about to take communion together and break bread. And all of us are seeking and looking for something, God. Some of us are in a great place this week and we're really content. Others are like, oh, I just can't find peace. But the great thing about living in community is that there is diversity, and you can reach out to all as individuals, but in that diverse way you can bring us together. And one of the best ways of doing that is through the sacrament of communion. And Lord, I've been thinking and praying about communion tonight, and I've been reminded of a song by Mumford and Sons. You might know them, they're a fantastic band. And they have a line in one of their songs called Roll Away Your Stone. And I've been chatting to a friend, or kind of an acquaintance of mine, Stephen Stockman up north, and he's been looking at the whole idea of doing communion and looking at the idea of seeking as well in a community. And he picked out this one line in the Mumford & Sons songs. I'm going to use it as a sort of a platform for our communion tonight. Listen to the words of this song. It seems that all my bridges have been burnt, but you say, that's God, I guess, that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change your heart, but the welcome you receive with a restart. And I think there's an importance over and over again to restart, if you like. And communion is a fantastic way to restart. And so I just want to pray God's blessing as we, if you like, restart again tonight in the seeking. So just quieten your hearts. Allow God's Spirit to move. May he help us restart again. So Lord, as we are saying, in this time of great change, we need your guidance. We need you to show us. And Lord, I'm sure the disciples on the night that you were betrayed, they were really concerned about the future. They didn't know what was ahead. Some of them didn't even understand it, Father. But you sat with them at the table. I'm sure you were scared, but yet certain of what your Father would do. And Lord, you sat there and you ate with them, and you took the bread, and you gave thanks to your Father in heaven, and then you broke it, a little bit like breaking this pit of bread, as a sign and a symbol of your broken body. And then you said to each one of your friends at the table, very different. One of them would even betray Jesus, but yet he still gave him the bread and the wine. He still included him. The church would like to exclude Judas, but he was still included at that table. Notice, it was afterwards that the betrayal happened. Jesus knew he was going to do it. So you were included. Even if you were feeling in great sin and you're betraying, you're still included. And then he gave it to his friends and he said, take, eat. Again, the imagery and metaphor of sustenance. Take, eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus tonight in your seeking. And then after a while, he took the cup. And like this, you would have poured it out into the cups as they reclined at the table. And like always, God, you gave thanks to your Father. You give thanks to your Father, Jesus. And then you said to your friends again, take this and drink it. For this is my blood of a new covenant, which is given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven again tonight in this great restart. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And therefore, Father, with this bread and with this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his resurrection. We remember his death. We remember his ascension. But Lord, we look for the coming of his kingdom. And through him, we offer you our souls and bodies as living sacrifices. We ask you to send us out in the power of your Spirit, even in this great reset, to live and work for your praise and glory. And by whom and with whom and in whom and in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. So, Father, we pray over this bread and over this wine, and that it would come and become everything that your Son intended it to be. We ask for your blessing upon your people now, Lord. Your Holy Spirit and the epiclesis and the empowerment of your Spirit on them in the seeking out of your purposes. We're going to receive communion together, and I encourage the worship band. Usually we have music, but let's do it in silence tonight, and let's have one station over to my left here. Maybe Bina and Johnny, would you do that? That would be great. So come over to my left. And just to let you know, everyone's welcome here tonight. It's grape juice, so you're all welcome to receive here in Core. We don't exclude anyone. So also maybe if we could have another couple, Tim and Niamh, would you mind doing it to my right, if that's okay? So draw near with faith and receive the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. So let's stand and let's receive together.